A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let's see it.
It's business time, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. My name's Marcus Speller, and nature's miracle, Luke Moore, is back.
It's the knockout stages, so I'm here.
Jimmy Campbell's here.
Bonjour.
And a sunburnt Pete Donaldson.
I'm the nature boy.
Allez les bleus.
Yes.
Or allez les bleus, as they say.
in their words, in parts of
Switzerland. My goodness, eh? But before we get onto that, it's lovely to have Luke Moore back in the studio.
It's lovely to be back. I did say to you guys before we decided to do all these World Cup shows, I'm not doing any dead rubbers.
Certainly not.
So I gave myself a few days off. Backfired, though, didn't it? Because I missed out the ritual laughing at Germany.
Let me tell you something. He was gutted to miss that.
I was.
Go on then, have a moment. You didn't get the comment on Germany going out.
Easy! Embarrassing. I was just sat in my hotel room when I was away for a few days, just going, yeah, I'll do my own little ramble. No one's listening. I don't care.
I was very upset. Bellboy, me in the minibar.
Yeah. I did get a little bit of joy because when I arrived at the hotel, I was in the south of France, and I arrived at the hotel, and the French concierge.
The Frenchman.
He had no TV where he was working, and I was just shooting the shit with him, talking football. And he was excited about France, and which obviously we'll come on to. Mm-hmm. And I said to him, oh, have you seen the big news today? And he was like, no. And I was like, yes. Germany been knocked out. He was like, no way.
Please tell me he said Sir Ackley Blue.
Yeah, no, he didn't. He was absolutely delighted, though. And it unites us all, doesn't it?
But Luke, you have had a couple of days off, so you are off the pace a little bit, I can tell, because we were doing the VAR sign during the music on the Football Ramble, and you did an incorrect aspect ratio.
Did I? Sorry.
You were doing a 4-3. And it's actually 16-9 nowadays.
So. Okay, let me just do it again, like that.
Better.
Yeah,
good.
Okay, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm not pan and scan for us.
I'm not someone who embraces technology. I'm now old, so it wasn't. I am actually quite pleased I missed having to talk about England-Belgium.
Yes.
So
yeah,
that was very.
It's light and dark.
There was a lot of white space in that book. Just people like exhaling, going.
I was listening to your England Belgium stuff, and I just thought these guys are just working really hard. they're just working really hard here. It doesn't feel natural.
We should have got different people, like a Ramble second string.
Yes.
Present it, although that would probably still involve me, sadly. Yeah. But there we are. But we're all here to talk about the knockouts. We're in the knockout phase.
Business end.
It is the business end of the tournament.
I'm a bit sad because it's been a rollicking good laugh.
Well, yeah, Peter, we got off to a rollicking good start with the knockouts with Argentina and France. I mean, my giddy aunt.
Sir Racle Bleu.
I tell you, Auntie Speller, she must be in an asylum.
Yes, so giddy.
Going on.
She couldn't believe it.
I watched this game with quite a few French people.
There's a wonderful stat that I saw on the BBC. The first time in 885 World Cup matches that a game has finished 4-3 in 90 minutes. And let's be honest, France, you bloody owed us that because of that Denmark performance. Not even England-Belgium finished 0-0.
You know, that is yet another brilliant thing about this World Cup, because throughout the group stage, I think you'd probably say that France were really, in terms of the sort of wider narrative, the only disappointment, because they got through the group. They just ground it out. They didn't show what they've got. And the moment they had to, God, boy, did they turn
it on. In that last match, was Kylian Mbappe just... You know, like a Hot Wheels car, you got to pull it back before it goes forward. Yeah. Is that what he was doing all that match?
It's just been like pulled a bull. Back the whole time.
I know everybody compares him to a young Thierry Henry. Absolutely everybody. But, like, have you ever seen a player who's so much like another player? It's phenomenal.
Well, Theo Walcott and Thierry Henry. Let's not forget.
He's faster than Thierry Henry, for one thing.
To take your Hot Wheels
analogy
to its natural conclusion, Pete, I think if that is the case, we'll fully know for sure when he eventually, at some point in the semi-final, runs off the edge of a balcony and into a river, which is what happens to every Hot Wheels car that's ever been owned by a child.
Chips her sidebod.
Yeah. He was astonishingly good. I mean, I do think, and I don't want to come across as churlish, because it was a good win for France, and that if you look at the goals they conceded, at least one of them, possibly two, you couldn't do anything about.
Yeah, well, one's a weldy, one's a deflection, right?
Exactly. But they did let Argentina back in.
They did,
And I said a week or so ago, I don't know if you guys agree, but I said a week ago, if Argentina get through this group, it'll be one of the worst performances to get through a group I think I've ever seen. Yet they still, on paper, ran France close enough. I mean, France were the better team, they deserved to win. But 4-3, I mean...
I think Argentina's lack of system kind of helped Argentina a little bit, because you can't defend against like players just swarming all over the place. I think Argentina's lack of discipline in many areas, I think caused a lot of problems for France on the break. But I think it's so rare to see a footballer like Mbappe actually be faster than any other player on the field, so to speak. I mean,
the Argentinians should be much faster with the ball at his feet as
because in modern football, everyone's whip smart and whip quick. And that was just such a weird kind of situation to sort of be in. I mean, let's face it, Argentina's defenders were dreadful and very slow.
The thing is, part of the problem for Rojo in particular was exactly because Mbappe was so fast. It just baffled him. He didn't know what he was doing, to the point where he just got tangled up in
it. It was a stupid thing to do from Rojo.
But I wonder if Mbappe needs the credit for what Rojo did, because it was effectively, he just tied him up in knots to the point where he just made a bad decision and panicked.
What it did is it laid bare the lack of organisation from Argentina. You can't do anything about a player being twice as quick as you. I mean, that happens a lot to defenders because defenders aren't naturally the fastest players on the pitch. What you then rely upon is your shape and your discipline, your tactics, and your mate helping you out. And Argentina don't have any of that. And normally when you see a player with that sort of pace laying to waste so noticeably a defence, it's because they've got no organisation. They've got no tactical acumen, because the way they've been coached and they've been a bit of a shambles going into it. It's not a surprise. I just think France need to be a bit careful, because they let a poor side back in, really. There was a moment in the end of the game where they could have been 4-4. Can you imagine how good we thought Mbappe was and how good France were overall? That Pavard goal was fantastic as well, of course. Imagine if that had ended 4-4. It would have been ridiculous.
I mean, it would have been ridiculous.
I was hoping that would happen just so we'd get another half an hour of it, though. It was brilliant.
I feel that into extra time, I mean, if you thought Mbappe's pace and energy exposed Argentina in normal time, can you imagine the tired Argentina in extra time? I mean, yes, it would have been ridiculous to go to extra time at 4-4, but I think they'd have won about 8-4.
To be honest with you, there were some like decent points for Argentina, because Luke made the point a few shows ago, like the players who aren't Leo Messi, players who aren't like this kind of big big time trolley, so to speak, need to use that space that is taken up by players kind of moving over. And yeah. Di Maria's goal was indicative of that because nobody was, everyone was marking Leo Messi and Di Maria.
They didn't get out to him anywhere near quick enough, did they?
No.
And I would say just to say that it's a funny result because France was so superior. Armani's got to save Mbappe's first goal.
Yeah,
really, hasn't he? And so then you're thinking on another day, this result could have gone another way. And of course, if it had, that would have been an absolute robbery. But France,
yeah, but margins though, isn't it in football?
Yeah. Because they do have to be careful though. France.
Argentina went 2-1 up, and it was a thing of beauty, the equaliser from Pavard. So had they not have scored that, but, although the problem is though with this Argentina side, when they went 2-1 up, I thought to myself, I know it's very early on in the game to do this. But you've had the warnings in the first half. Just sit a bit deeper. But the high line that they tried to play all the time was, to me, it was suicidal.
Sorry, Marcus, you said that Pavard goal was a beauty.
Mm.
Can you? I think it's much more than a beauty, Marcus. Yeah.
Go on then.
I'll tell you, his tight little Buffon's a beauty. His goal
was something else. Yeah, it was like a slice.
It was like Nacho's goal. Taken up another notch.
Well, it was like Nacho's goal.
Another rung on the good goal ladder.
It was like Nacho's goal and Quaresma's goal started a side project.
Yeah.
That was better than either of the
which will later components. Go on to consume the original project and become, a bit like the new pornographers, will become the main band.
Yeah,
It was so forensic. It's like a dude doing an operation and then the best surgeon in the world doing that same operation.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
It was like he didn't strike the ball so much as sort of take it to a nice, on a nice day out, take it to a spa, get it a good massage and a facial, and then gently told him, go on, tell you what, you're in a lovely place now, you're feeling really relaxed, go and pop yourself in the net.
You were an object, you're now a work of art.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
It was a decent hit for a fullback.
Wasn't it? That is surely going to be the goal of the tournament.
Well, how many times do we keep saying this?
I mean, even Di Maria's was as good
within
as that
game. Mbappe second, what a move, and what a beautiful little ball from Giroud to set him up. You've got Di Maria's, you've got Pavard. In that game alone, there was three wonderful goals.
And the debut of the new ball as well.
The debut of the new ball. That ball was
the same ball, but it's got red panelling on it.
It's a new ball.
I'm against it. I'm against
new
it.
New ball, Jim.
A new ball for the knockout phase.
Yeah, that's nice.
They had a new bazooka for the final in the last one. So, you know,
this has rocked me to my core, hasn't it? They have
a new ball every game.
Was the last one orange? It basically, it's turned red to signify
England.
It's heating
England.
Up. No.
Red and white ball.
Okay, red and white ball, England.
Yeah, why not?
Kylian Mbappe is now 9-2 favourite to win the golden ball with Bet365. £10 returns £55 including stake. But here's what I want to say. Here's something I really wanted to get out there. If I could pick one team in this tournament to test France, I would pick England. But aside from them,
yeah, but we're in a different side of the draw. Yeah. We're in the piss easy bit, so we're going to go to the straight to the final.
Do they still definitely want to play those games? I tell you now, it's pointless.
Mate, there's no snakes in our fucking snakes and ladder game.
No, it's not up there. It's all ladders.
Right up to 99.
1-99 straight away. it's Uruguay.
They're a lot more organised, aren't they? A lot more defensive.
They are not going to give France. What they're going to do is they're essentially going to be Argentina if Argentina were good. They're going to say, we're not giving you all that space you've enjoyed against Argentina.
Yeah.
I hope you had a lovely time. I hope you've dined out on that. Oh, you went out for a nice dinner after the game and talked about how great you were because you're not getting any of that against us.
Absolutely not.
And so that will be a really interesting quarterfinal. We don't know how the others are going to pan out yet. At the moment, if the quarterfinal lineup looks anything like the first one will look, I'm very excited because Uruguay will test France badly.
Very much so. What about going back to Argentina? You know, it's probably the last time we'll see the likes of maybe Di Maria, Higuain, Aguero, Messi at the World Cup, Mascherano, certainly.
I don't see Mascherano ever again.
he retired about 10 seconds after the final
whistle.
And then went, sorry about that.
And just disappeared.
Yeah. He pulled his mask off when he was 100 years old.
He's got a season to look forward to in China. I'm working with Chris Coleman,
Working with Cookie.
He'll show him a good time. But this generation of Argentinian players, they came so close to winning a trophy and so on and so forth. But we'll remember them well, will we not? I mean, I still find it funny that people... A couple of people the other day was at... party, and they've said, oh, well, Messi's never done it at a World Cup. But you got to the final last time, for crying out loud.
Scored a goal in every group stage game that season.
Yeah,
that
he may well not have scored in a knockout game and so on, but I mean...
I think Ronaldo's got that thing as well.
He does.
He's never scored in a knockout game
But who are you
either.
Comparing it to? Because if you are comparing it to Maradona, which I assume, Why are you doing that? It's just, it's so frustrating.
It's reductionist nonsense, this whole thing. Rio Ferdinand really made a really, really good point about Messi and Maradona early on in the tournament when he was saying that you've got to look at Messi's sustained greatness. He's done it so consistently for such a long time, far more than Maradona did. And this idea that you have to win a World Cup to prove yourself as the greatest player ever just because some guy in the pub says so is absolute nonsense.
You never, I agree with that. And Maradona's career was typified by, I think people get confused sometimes. Maradona's career was typified by extraordinary genius, amazing highs, and also really basement lows as well.
Which a lot of highs with Maradona.
Yeah, definitely, but which people can relate to, whereas Messi is sustained brilliance. And I say what I've said before on this show, and we have these conversations about Ronaldo and Messi and all the rest of them. Tiger Woods said, when he was asked if he's the greatest golfer of all time, he said, all you can ask as an athlete is to be a part of the conversation because you're never going to solve that problem. It's never. What we're going to do, get 538 to come up with some sort of... you know, statistical evidence to say that one is definitively better than the other. It's never going to happen.
All right, Luke, I've got a question for you then. Is Pete Donaldson the greatest sidekick of all time?
Yeah. He was number two in the Times Top 10 sidekick. Well,
which is where you want to be. For a sidekick, that's number
perfect,
one.
Yeah.
2008 to 2011 on XFM, Cheeky Pete, I've always been a sidekick. So, you know, for you, this is just a good time. For me, this is what I call life, right?
Yeah. You're taking a day off a sidekick day of the year. From your sidekick life.
Did I say sidekick? I meant psychic.
Yeah. Pete was voted number two in the Times Top 10 Radio Psychics not a week after he told me he was pissed off about being a sidekick.
Oh, that is true, isn't it?
There was
a rundown of Radio Psychics and I was part of the conversation.
Who beat you?
Comedy Dave, something like that.
Oh, Comedy Dave.
Might have been.
Where's he now? He's still working.
I'm your psychic on the Luke and Pete show, so I know how you feel.
I tell you what, though, Peter. I'm looking around the studio. Can't see Comedy Dave anywhere.
Good point.
Also, surely it should be the Pete and Luke show if you're the psychic.
Alphabetical, mate.
Right.
yeah, indeed.
Or as it was called by one of our sponsors fairly recently, the Luke and Paul show.
The puke and bleach show.
Yeah. Paul the Octopus, get him on there.
Oh, that's what...
There was a pig. The pig's done something.
I've just remembered what really made me laugh at the show when I wasn't on it. England's fly. Doing the predictions. England's fly, love that.
Which jobby is the England fly going to land on?
All the England players are turds. The fly has to pick the team. I'd love that.
A word for Paul Pogba.
Yeah.
No, well, for Paul Pogba's two brothers in the stand.
Oh, yeah.
Because he latched a ball over.
What is he doing there?
They both had a look on their face to say, I've waited 15 minutes for this free kick to be taken. Oh, no stats about the free kick wasting 10 minutes on average. That is from 538, who are one of the leading statisticians.
You've been vindicated, pal.
Mm. Yeah.
Did you see Otamendi squirting water in Giroud's face?
He didn't mean it.
Shop yours.
We've brushed over Paul Pogba readily.
Can I just say, that particular incident where Otamendi squirts some water in an Argentinian player's face, that has beautifully described both of you two as human beings. Marcus, he didn't mean it. Nice bloke. Pete, not even entertaining, I did it, he didn't mean it. Of course he meant it. I do it all the time.
Paul Pogba had a great game.
He did play well. Yeah. And let's be fair, whether we all think he's a good player and we all think, you know, there are problems with playing under Mourinho, not just for Paul Pogba. We've seen it with other players who seem to have come out of their shell.
Marcus Rojo came out of his shell.
Not so much Rocco.
Volleys, taking players down in the box.
It's almost a bit like you're thinking, oh, isn't it great to see all these players really being able to express themselves when they're no longer playing under Mourinho? Marcus Rojo. Oh, no, he genuinely is just bad. So, not him.
David De Gea is playing better.
But do you think... Well, come on to that. That's a talking point.
It is.
Would you say that Pogba needed a performance like that after all the criticism, or do you not think it matters?
I think it's great for him to have a performance like that. Great for him to have the newspapers and all the rest of it saying nice things about him. Because have people saying bad things about you, chances are it may well affect you. So to put in a performance like that and basically remind everyone, oh, I'm a bloody world-class footballer, is always a positive thing, you know? And I
can't say that when people are nasty to me.
What's that?
If someone's nasty to me, I can't go, don't worry, Pete, you're a world-class footballer.
But you're a world-class sidekick.
Thanks, mate.
Definitely in the top two. Circa about 2009.
But the one thing about France, before we go for a break, is the pace and energy they have in abundance in that side. They do not look like they're going to tire anytime soon.
No, because they've got a young, exciting team, and if you take into the especially going forward, so if you take into account that
Lamar and Dembele not even on,
didn't even use Dembele. So, but you know, without, I don't want to get too carried away, because I do still think there are questions to answer with France. They've not really, I mean, Argentina are a good team traditionally, but we've all agreed they've been poor.
Yes.
So if you take that as read, they've not actually played anyone that good yet.
Yeah, absolutely.
So once they play Uruguay, we'll find out a lot about them. I thought Uruguay have come from, and we'll talk about them maybe a bit later.
Oh, yes.
I think they've come from maybe a team that's really good in both penalty areas to a team that's actually really good everywhere. But I'm sure we'll cover that.
All right, well, let's go for a break then, Luke Moore, and after which we can all get our teeth into those Uruguayan beauties.
Teeth.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Owen Seaman's been beaten. It's a goal. It's Ronaldinho.
He meant it. Welcome back to the World Cup Ramble,
every
sponsored
time.
By Bet365, everybody. Now it's Uruguay time, baby. Mm. And that first Cavani goal, satisfying.
Off his face.
A goal for all the world. The way he and Suarez link up has always been wonderful, but that was to the nth degree.
1-2 from crossfield, like, ball.
Yeah, it's the finest 1-2 we've perhaps ever seen.
Yeah. Pete, if you're worried about and maybe a little bit insecure about not being world class, take a leaf out of Suarez and Cavani's book. All you got to do is work your bollocks off, mate.
Cavani in particular, like, ran. He spent a lot of time in his own box.
He's an absolute specimen.
I have to say that second finish was absolutely phenomenal. He made that look so simple. It's such a sweet, crisp take.
I agree with that. It was a great goal, but I thought the keeper. Yeah, a top-class keeper might
it's the bend on it, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, he bend on that ball.
he'll be playing his trade for Wolves next season, that goalkeeper, so we'll see what he's like week to week, because we haven't seen him probably as closely as some.
Can he do it on a cloudy afternoon in Wolverhampton?
I can't remember which pundit it was who said it, but it said that Cavani's like the first box-to-box striker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He works so hard.
In 2010, was it? Cavani, didn't he play wing-back? I think that Uruguayan side.
He was playing left back, like, in that game.
Yeah, he was. Am I right in saying that? Because they had Forlan up front. I think, forgive me if that's wrong, but I think Cavani might have been wing back in 2010.
Man.
See, he's such a. But you're right. He's obviously a striker or a forward, but yet such a utility player at the same time. But very pleased for him, because he sometimes is derided, and understandably so, about missing a few chances. So for him to get two goals to send them through. In such a crucial match, very pleased for him, because he's a wonderful player.
That's the one part of his game that us mere mortals may see as obvious that he can improve, which is his finishing. And he's done that. What he did that in this game. When a player of his quality and of his attributes adds being like a deadly finisher. If he could finish like Robbie Fowler, he would be completely unstoppable. Mm. And
Mentioned for Robbie Fowler. Well,
what's curious, I mean, not really a striker who's been blessed with a massive international career, but you understand my point.
He
was well known as having a great finish.
But one
thing that's fascinating about Uruguay for me is tactically, obviously, they're very good. Their coach is really, really well respected and rightly so, and very experienced. But what's interesting about Uruguay for me is just their economy of effort and everything they do. If you look at, if they beat, they beat Portugal 2-1, they were worthy winners. Mm. I mean, Portugal pushed towards
the end.
But if you look at, Portugal had four times the amount of shots than Uruguay had. More possession. 67% possession.
They had a lot of possession, yeah.
86% pass success Portugal compared to 66 for
that's
Uruguay.
Amazing.
And they won more headers and 10 corners to Uruguay's 2.
That's mad.
But Uruguay don't feel unworthy winners because their economy of effort is so efficient.
You look at that game and their tournament in general, and even those stats are amazing to me because I don't feel like Uruguay have really been tested. There was never a point where you thought they were definitely going to lose.
Towards the end, there was a few balls in the box.
But you expect
that
in a knockout game when you've got a narrow lead. That's always going to happen.
Yeah.
Also, another takeaway for you. Given their reputation, which is possibly, we've heard on the step and on the continent, it's been unfair. How many bookings do you think Uruguay got in that game?
I'm going to go with zero.
Zero.
Wow.
No bookings.
That's amazing.
Not a single yellow.
Which is incredible.
Yeah. So do you feel that Uruguay could go on and win it? Because if you look at the quality
unfair
of...
play.
Will the final go down to that? We're not going to do a penalty shootout.
if you look at the quality of Cavani and Suarez, you know, with the hope that Cavani's injury isn't serious
well, that's
the rest of the tournament, and the quality of those centre-backs, and that team ethic, and as you say, that economy of effort, is there any reason they can't?
Yes, and that reason, I think, is...
Kylian Mbappe.
No, it's the psychological barrier of playing Brazil, which they'll play in the semi.
Well, if they both get there.
If it goes to play...
And the winner of that game goes to play England.
But do you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
The South American psychological barrier of playing Brazil is definitely there.
Isn't it? I was completely...
But Brazil, I think it's there for everyone, isn't it?
Brazil, yeah.
Look at what we did against
apart from Argentina, probably.
But how psychologically scarred are Brazil from the last World Cup?
Yeah, but that
they've been humiliated
Germany.
By Uruguay in 1950, and they've been humiliated in a semi by Germany.
I don't think 1950 plays a part with regards to their approach to Uruguay, because they've played Uruguay tons of times.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the problem for Uruguay would be trying to get past France, you know, and that is a huge one. If they can get past France and they play Brazil, I think that Uruguay will be brimming with confidence. And yes, there is a psychological barrier and so on. There's a lot of football to be played before that happens, of course.
Well, France, when you mentioned France there, we talked about before the break, they're 4-1 with Bet365 to win the World Cup now. So £10 returns £50, including stake. Uruguay are now 11-2 with Bet365 to reach the final. Ooh. So £10 returns £65, including stake. Now, I just really want to make a quick point. I can't explain it, not really sure why, but I've got a feeling that Mexico and indeed Russia might be the upsets of this round. I think Mexico will challenge Brazil quite badly.
Not England.
No, because I think England will win and they deserve
it. Is that not an upset?
No. Are we talking about England today? Because if we are,
I
think England are better than Colombia.
They are. All this kind of loss against Belgium, I just think it could bite us on the arse. But there we are. Let's not talk about England. We're having a nice time talking about Uruguay and so on. With regards to Uruguay winning the tournament, my worry for Uruguay, and it's exactly the worry going into this France game, is they have a fairly small squad when it comes to the real quality. They need their two centre-halves.
Yeah.
They need their two forwards. And a bigger squad usually wins the World Cup, off the top of my head, you know, and France have got resources they can pull in, and Brazil as well. If, you know, if Neymar gets injured for Brazil, some could argue that actually it might be a positive thing because it won't all be about him. They can just bring in somebody like, you know, Willian or whoever it may be. With Uruguay, they get a big injury and it really, really tells.
Definitely.
And to go all the way into a tournament, it's very, very difficult. And I would suggest that perhaps that is a big reason why I don't think they would go on to win it.
They need a bit of luck. But if Brazil go into a tournament without Neymar, they're still going to be among the favourites.
Completely.
If Uruguay lose one of Suarez, Cavani, Godin or Jimenez, they're in a bit of trouble, I'd say.
And it would be interesting if Cavani doesn't start against France. I mean,
Stuani's had a good season, though.
He has had a good season, but it's not quite
the same level, though, is it?
No. And also, France get a huge boost from that as well.
Yeah.
So, you know...
Also, as you say, you mentioned Thomas Lemar and Dembele.
Yeah.
If it goes to extra time, and you would assume at some point, you know, that we're going to start seeing games that do that, they're not too bad options off the bench, are they? The legs you're getting from that.
Absolutely right. I mean, you could imagine if that game, France versus Uruguay, goes the distance, Uruguay playing for penalties. Just dig in a big old trench and Godin with his tin hat on and they're capable of doing that.
We're talking about the latter stages of the World Cup now, where lots of good teams are going to go out by definition. This is how it is.
Seems brutal, doesn't it?
It does, because you've got a lot of good teams in there. But this World Cup has been sort of, on one level, fairly unpredictable. But at the same time, you've got quite a lot of big teams in there, mm-hmm. as you'd expect. Of course, the Germany thing is a headline. But Uruguay are perfectly set up, I think, to test France. Well, they'll give them nothing. And France are going to have to earn it.
What's encouraging for Uruguay, starting with Torreira, who's, you know, Arsenal could get their hands on him very, very soon.
Yes, please, based on that.
Indeed, yeah. Playing at the base of a midfield diamond, Vecino and Nandez either side with Bentancur up top. They played with a flat four in the first two games. Didn't look particularly great. I know the opposition didn't throw too much at them. They played with that diamond against Russia, looked better. They looked better against Portugal. I think that they've stumbled. Well, not stumbled. They're onto something there. So with that midfield diamond, I think that they're looking quite compact. They're looking like they know the system. And we all know that if you know your jobs, which they do, they have the ethos, they have the passion and so on. Argentina, they've got the quality, they've got the passion, didn't have the system, and were horrifically exposed because of that. Uruguay, you could argue, have got all three. And those three things are going to take you far in a tournament. They've already got to the quarterfinal. It will be fascinating to see what happens against France, against a very solid defensive unit. Just briefly on Portugal, probably Cristiano Ronaldo's last World Cup, although could he come back in 4 years' time and be the best defender at the tournament?
It sounds like daft, but I don't expect him to retire, for one thing, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him at the next World Cup. He wants Ali Daei's record.
Yeah, I'm
not joking about that.
Yeah,
it's a fool's errand to try and predict it because it's, you know, what, 3.5 years away or whatever, because it'll be a slightly different time of year.
That's right.
I wouldn't be surprised either if he was there.
No.
I mean, he's
I see a really unedifying end to that man's career.
Do you?
Yeah, just because he loves playing football.
Is that because eventually, Pete, everyone dies?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
And we're all but dust.
But I mean, Ronaldo, at a club like Real Madrid, Ronaldo will be posting numbers. Like he'll be training, he'll be doing pre-season, he'll be hitting certain numbers, and they'll be getting a good idea of what level he's at.
Yep.
Not just on his goals playing for Real Madrid up front because they're a good team, but the level he's at, the amount of sprints he's doing, the amount of ground he's covering. And you'd have to argue that there's no way, given the level he's at, given that we spent most of the part of the group stage talking about him being the best player in the world, and he's definitely part of that conversation, even if he drops off, you still couldn't make the argument that he's not going to make some sort of contribution with his experience in 2-3 years' time. Now, then you're knocking on the door of the World Cup anyway. So it depends what he wants to do. But I think in terms of his physicality, no question he would be still amongst it. Unless the only caveat to that would be is if he has a bad injury.
Yeah. I think Jim's onto something. What's Ronaldo got? The 80-odd goals at international level. Yeah. Ali Daei, was it 109?
Something like that.
And obviously Ali Daei is the overall male top scorer in international football.
The Ronaldo, Nations League is to come. So.
Yeah, I think you're right. Ronaldo,
he'll definitely want to hit 100 international goals.
Yeah,
definitely.
So he's, what, about 25, 30, something like that off Ali Daei. Most people would think that's a bridge too far. Not for old C-Rod.
Get Ronnie. Some friendlies in.
Yes, let's get some correspondence in, Peter.
All right, then.
Have you got any?
I've got some. James Tortoise has got in touch. Hello, James. Your discussion around the performance of the Marcus, and Marcos so far got me thinking about the other three Ramblers.
Oh yeah.
So basically, he's gone through the entirety of
Luke
the
Shaw's not there, James.
No,
I thought there probably isn't a Luke there at all, is there?
Yeah, there
no,
must be.
No, there is.
Oh, Luka Modric. Yeah, best player.
Yeah.
So I'll go through. Marcus,
you don't take any credit for that.
Marcus has 9 players in the World Cup, 7 made out of the groups. So that's a 77% success rate.
That's very good.
Yeah, and 2 goals.
And I am taking credit for that.
And 2 goals.
2 goals. Royce and Rojo, obviously. Yeah. Jim has got 6 players.
Hang on, sorry. I, as loath as I am, Marco Royce is not a Marcus.
It's a big old email, Marcus.
All right,
let's get through it, mate.
All right.
Jim says, Jim had 6 players. 3 made out of the group. That's a 50% conversion.
Is he having James Rodriguez?
Yeah. Yes, he is.
Good.
Yeah. He's fuming about it.
No, I'm not. I'm delighted with that. I want it.
Now injured.
Yeah. So we're having like Jamie, we've got like a Jaime, we've got a Jimmy in there as well.
Any derivation of the name is fine.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, fine. Luke has got 11 players.
11?
In the World Cup. Six made out of the group.
Only 6, Morsi.
6 made out of the group. 54% conversion rate.
Yeah.
2 goals. Modric, you're not having Lukaku though, he says.
Oh, come on. Give me that.
No, Romeluco.
Yeah.
I've only got 3 players at the World Cup.
Pedro's not in there.
Didn't even want those 3, did you?
3 Pedros. 1 made out of the group, 33% success rate. So Luke has the most players, Marcus has the highest success rate getting out of the group, and you both share the lead on goals.
That's fair, isn't it? Because I'm all about the quality, Luke's all about the quantity.
I also had a look at the past couple of tournaments to see how you all did. Beasley, Hanneman, Albach, Zorro, Materazzi, Strella and Big Van Basten in the dugout. 2006 was certainly the summer of Marcus.
I'm reluctant to take a Marco.
It's nice of a Marco in there.
Yeah, it is.
Look at you, spoilt for choice.
Saw a few Pete's in there. Unbelievable. So.
Yeah, but Pedro won in 2010, did he not? Was he in the squad, Pedro?
Dreadful
Who
business.
Cares? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Hello to Danny in Falconwood, London. I'm late coming to the Ramble. I only discovered it in late October.
Then you are not welcome.
He's had enough time to bed in.
I was at a barbecue yesterday and it was someone's wedding and somebody asked me to do a video for the groom who lives in China.
You were at a barbecue, but it was someone's wedding.
I was asked to film a video for a forthcoming wedding, right. Where a man who lives in China wondered if I would bestow Ramble friend of the Ramble status, so I may have bestowed a friend of the Ramble status over a chicken wing.
There'll be an internal inquiry.
There'll be an internal inquiry. Yeah. Okay, right. Yeah. Can you pay all that?
You are rogue. You are a rogue sidekick.
Anyway,
that is a dangerous thing.
Since then, he's managed to listen to every episode from the start of 2010 and 11, which is incredible.
I mean, he must be a pervert.
He works nights. He works nights in the hospital.
Hey,
the Ramble has helped me get through the last 9 months. Anyway, onto the reason why I've decided to email in. I was recently sat on the bus going to work and one of your episodes had finished, so I got out my phone to put the next episode on and a guy sat behind me, saw that I was listening to the Ramble and decided to talk to me. Long story short, we've now watched 3 England games together proving the power of the Ramble.
Bringing people together!
Isn't that nice?
I have to take back what I said about you being a pervert.
Uh-huh. Perverts of the world unite.
If you're listening to this show right now and you're a new listener, you are, of course, very welcome. I was being facetious.
Yeah. Indeed you were.
And please do buy one of our products.
And finally for now, Brian Wallach says, you may have seen this already, but wanted to bring it to your attention. A fun bit is that the data supports Luke's claims that free ticks take forever. 10.5 minutes per match.
We talked about it, didn't we? And you guys were wondering where it's from. It's from 538,
right,
which is Nate Silver's website. It does a lot of statistical stuff. It's quite highly respected, as far as I know,
although I'm
not an expert in that field. But I was pleased to see it because genuinely, not because it proved me right, but because I think if more people are aware of it, there's a better chance of it being cracked down on because it's ruining the flow, I think.
It also just looks like VAR only adds on an average of 31 seconds.
Correct.
Which I think is slightly... I think it's slightly dippy because you're doing it while the game's being played, and that's not a nice time.
And that's not the point.
Yeah.
No one in this studio, as far as I know, has said, it slows the game down. That's the problem. We've talked about other problems around it. The slowing the game thing isn't as much of a concern for me.
Mm. Yeah, it was the one where it was really highlighted. I think Marcus Rashford took a free kick against Belgium, and it took so long to take the free kick, and because it was England, for some reason I thought this is increasing his chances of scoring, because it's taking the build up and you're suddenly always going to take a free kick. He blazes it over the bar and you go, that free kick did take a long time to set up.
It's fairly easily clamped down upon, I think. Part of the problem is that the referees are now putting the disappearing spray down, which takes a while, but one of the things that in a way that should make it quicker, because he hasn't got to get the wall back. But what's causing problems is that players seem to want to argue every decision. Mm. And it seems a bit odd because the referee isn't going to change his mind about a free kick. It's just not going to happen. Once he's given it, there's no recourse there to overturn it. He's not going to change his mind. So you're either doing it because it's hot and you want a breather and it's late in the game and you're tired, or because you're trying to put more pressure on the taker. All this stuff is gamesmanship, so it can easily be stamped down upon with yellow cards and stuff like that. But I think because players don't watch games because they play them, maybe they don't notice it as much. I personally feel like it sort of ruins it a little bit. Of course, players do watch games. I'm not saying they don't, but to them, maybe they've got a slightly different angle on it. But I think it's something that could be easily eradicated.
Indeed. Today's fixtures, gentlemen, Spain versus Russia, Croatia versus Denmark. Luke's already suggested, Peter,
an upset,
that Russia could cause an upset. The host nation could march on.
I wouldn't discount that.
Really?
Or at least take them really close. Take them extra time, maybe.
And they've got the running.
Which
Russia, haven't they?
Well, this is the thing. We've seen that Russia are very, you know,
energetic,
fit, and that's tends to be what Spain used to undo people, isn't it? It's just passing them to death and just exhausting teams and then killing them like that. But Russia obviously are very
well. If Russia come out,
they can stand up to it.
But if Russia come out, it'd be interesting how they manage the game because if the home crowd are roaring them on and so on, and they think, do you know what? If we're still in it, and that is where Spain unpicks you.
I feel like the first goal is massively important in this one.
I think the goalkeepers are a talking point. Akinfeev has obviously been quite a poor tournament so far. Probably been the worst performer of all the Russian players.
Mm-hmm.
De Gea's had a nightmare to the point where there was talk of Hierro not even starting him in this game, but I think he is going to start him now.
You'd expect so.
The reason I think Russia have a chance is, well, there's two reasons. One is because they'll have a crowd behind them and it'll be a good atmosphere. Two, because when Spain have looked vulnerable, it's been when they've been hassled and harried and to the point of where I've read this morning, there's a rumour, it's not substantiated, there's a rumour that Iniesta won't start the game, that they're going to play Koke instead. Because I think Iniesta may be, obviously his best years are behind him, and you only get really get an hour out of him anyway, don't you, now, at international level. So I think Russia have got the profile of a team, based on what we've seen in this tournament, whether they can keep it up, I don't know, that could do some damage to Spain, actually. I think it's a nightmare game for Spain, in a way.
Croatia, you would expect to beat Denmark. They've been so good.
Yeah.
And Denmark have been quite poor. But again, this one, Croatia, like in the Euros 2 years ago, they looked brilliant in the group and then were surprisingly beaten by Portugal. But then everyone was in the knockouts, of course, by Portugal. Could Denmark be that side where you look at the quarterfinal lineup and you go, how are they in there?
I think they're going to struggle to get past Croatia. I think Croatia are just too canny. But Christian Eriksen and Luka Modric is an interesting midfielder
battle.
Yeah, that's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, a lot of craft and guile from both of them. They're going
to but Eriksen doesn't have Rakitic next to him to help
absolutely
him out,
not.
You know, and Brozovic behind him. So yeah, Croatia are firm favourites for that one, and I think that people looking at these fixtures would think that's probably a home banker.
Croatia are a bit almost have got a bit of the in terms of the mentality, a bit of the England about them, because they need to believe that they belong there, because they're maybe not quite as used to it. We saw them get to the semi-final in 98, of course, had a good team then. They've got a good team now. What it comes down to is whether they behave and play that they belong to be there, that they belong there, and they can psychologically make their presence felt. Against Denmark, I think it's actually quite a nice warm-up for them, because they'll play, if Spain go through against Russia, they'll play them in the quarter-final. That'll be a big test, psychologically, I mean. So I think Croatia go through. I've not been that impressed with Denmark, actually.
But Croatia could go far. You would expect them to beat Denmark, and as you say, they could play Spain next. Well, this is a Spain side, but didn't they beat them 2 years ago at the Euros? It certainly gave them a very good game.
That's if Spain beat Russia.
That's if Spain beat Russia.
Does Denmarkus stand as Denmarkus?
It's nice to have a Denmarkus in there.
Nice to have a Denmarkus in there.
Only if they get through.
You'll tell us tomorrow.
Only if they get through. But there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the World Cup Ramble, sponsored by Bet365. We are back tomorrow, of course, to talk about those two games that we just mentioned. Luke Moore, say goodbye.
And build up to the England game, presumably, as well.
Yes.
Bloody excited about that. Goodbye, sorry.
Say goodbye, Jimmy Campbell.
Goodbye, Jimmy Campbell.
Say goodbye, Petey.
If we'd beaten Belgium, we would have been playing tomorrow.
And it's goodbye from me in London.
Yes. London, goodbye. Open the doors!
Yeah, look, I'm caught on you.
Open the doors.
It's expensive shorts, a bit of respect.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.